An 11-year-old girl in my congregation once came to me. She was troubled by the fact that she had never experienced any real miracles. She believed in God. She knew He existed, but she could not understand why it was that He performed so many marvelous things in the Torah, but that she herself had never witnessed anything miraculous that He had done. She would very much like to have some miracles performed for her. She told me that this would increase her faith in God, and she didn't understand why God was holding back. We'll return to this young lady a bit later. First, let me say that unlike other faiths, Judaism does not stand or fall on miracles. The Rambam, Maimonides, in his Laws of Yesodei HaTorah, Chapter 8, discusses this in great detail. It's a very important chapter. But be that as it may, miracles are nevertheless an important element in our relationship with God. Now let's talk about Purim. Purim is the time of miracles. In the davening for that day, we recite the special paragraphs about Purim, and it begins with the words Al Hanisim, which means we thank you for the miracles. But Purim presents an unusual kind of miracle. There is no splitting of the Red Sea, there's no thunder and lightning and voices from heaven, there's no sun standing still, there are no walls that come tumbling down. Everything that happens in the Purim story is hidden under the guise of natural events. Look how many things had to happen naturally, quote-unquote, for the Jews to be saved. Consider, Queen Vashti is put to death for insubordination. Esther enters the scene and is chosen queen over thousands of other women. The king loves her and she is accepted. Mordechai overhears the plot to kill the king. He saves the king, and that fact is recorded. The sleepless night of the king takes place, and then his reading of the records. And then Haman comes to the palace to prepare the hanging of Mordechai, and so forth and so on. It is all natural, all supposedly coincidental, and it all happens over a number of years, so that it is hardly noticeable at all. But clearly, God's guiding hand is involved in retrospect. Which leads to this insight. There are two types of miracles. There is the open miracle and there is the hidden miracle. The open miracle, known as the Nes Nigla, is exemplified by what took place in Egypt and its dramatic parting of the waters and so forth. The hidden miracle, the Nes Nistar, is exemplified by Purim and its unseen and very undramatic miracles. Purim is the prototype of the modern miracle because it is not obvious. It is hidden. It is the epitome of a Nes Nistar, of the hidden miracle. One has to be especially sensitized to see the hand of God in the Nes Nistar. This is why, say the sages, Esther is hinted at in the Torah by the phrase where God says, Anochi Aster Astir, I will hide my face in that day. That is the epitome of the hiddenness of God's interactions with His universe. He hides His face, and that very fact of hiddenness is hinted at in the name of Esther, which also means hidden. And this is the overriding message of Purim. One must become sensitized to see the hand of God even in what seems like ordinary events. This is the great teaching of Mordechai and Esther. Look carefully at the physical. Examine the ordinary. If you look with sensitive eyes, you may find that the ordinary is quite extraordinary. Look, for example, at the important role that eating and drinking and feasting play in this story. The book of Esther begins with a grand feast sponsored by Ahasuerus and describes in detail the material and physical splendor of the palace and the food and the flowing wine and the beverages and the furnishings. Later, in the narrative, a feast plays another important role. Esther invites Haman to a special feast that she is sponsoring. The underlying motif of all this is that even the eating and the drinking in the story are part of the miracle. God is present not only in the thunder and the lightning and the parting of the waters, he is also present in the ordinary food and the ordinary drink that we imbibe. This is one reason, by the way, that Purim celebrations center so much on food and drink. Not for their own sake, but so that we can learn to appreciate the hand of God even in the hidden physical things. To learn to see God in the daily events. This is one of the great teachings of Purim. The Ramban, Nachmanides, at the end of Sedra Bo, commenting on the 13th chapter of Exodus, verse 16, makes a very significant comment. He says that from the great and famous miracles, a person acknowledges the hidden miracles which are the foundations of the entire Torah. So says Nachmanides. Note well his words. The hidden miracles are the foundation of the Torah. The hidden miracles are the foundation of the religious life. This is what we might call the miracles of the mundane. The miracles of the mundane. This is why three times a day, every single day of the year, we say in the Amidah, the Al Nisecho Shebechol Yom Imonu, we thank you for your miracles that are with us every day. God's miracles are constant, daily. Although we tend to become hardened to the wondrous things that God does for us, the dailiness ought not to obscure the daily-ness. The Purim story emphasizes within our souls the concept of Nes Nistar. Since the close of the Bible, we are not privileged to see the Nes Nigla, the open and dramatic miracle. But if we look carefully, we can be worthy of seeing the hidden miracles. This is possibly what is meant by the Talmud in Yoma 29, when it says that the Purim miracle is the last of the recorded biblical miracles. It is the quintessential modern kind of miracle. The Nes Nistar, the hidden miracle, is what we have with us today. It means that nothing that happens, happens by chance. A person of faith realizes that God is there even though he is hidden. Oh yes, about that young lady who wanted to know about miracles. I tried to explain to her what the definition of a miracle is. That it occurs when God suspends his own laws of nature and intervenes in the process of his nature to achieve a particular purpose. In order for God to change his normal order and do a miracle for us, we too have to change our normal order, our habits and so forth, on his behalf. We need to be worthy of miracles. Miracles just don't happen. God will suspend the natural laws of his universe on our behalf when we are ready to suspend our ingrained habits and our own so-called natural laws on his behalf. If we work on changing ourselves and then keep our eyes open, we may find many more miracles than we think. Purim, say the sages in the Talmud, is the one holiday that will never be abolished, even at the end of days. Why is this? Precisely because of this teaching. It sensitizes us to the presence of God in every aspect of life and teaches us to look for his presence in everything that we do. There is a beautiful parable cited in Rav Yitzchak Huttner's Pachad Yitzchak on Purim. Once two guards were assigned to identify people entering the different gates of the palace. It was at night, and one had a lantern and was able with great ease to see everyone who approached. The other guard had no lantern. but he developed the ability to identify the people by the sound of their voices. The task of the first man was easier, but when the sun rose, his job became superfluous. The task of the second guard was much more difficult, but even when the sun rose, the skill that he had developed in recognizing the voices of people stood him in good stead even in the daytime. Now both Egypt and the miracle of Egypt and Purim and the miracle of Purim each have an Anochi, I am. In Egypt it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. And as we saw earlier about Purim, in retrospect, the Torah says, V'anochi haster astir, I will hide my face. That is, there are two ways for Israel to apprehend God and to understand God. Through the Anochi, through the I am of Egypt, which is clear like a lantern, and through Purim, whose Anochi, whose I of God is hidden. But the ability to see God via the open miracle through the lantern is superfluous at the end of days when God's presence is palpable to everyone. However, the ability to see God in hidden ways, even in darkness, is always valuable, and therefore Purim shall never come to an end. This is the major teaching of Purim, to sensitize us once again to the presence of God in everything that we do, in every part of life, and to look for His presence in every moment of the day. Thank you very much.